So many religions, they're like not kid compatible. You know, you're in a yoga class and you bring your kids, yoga class just ended. It's over. But you love it that church is loud, it's cray-cray, it's like disastrous, stuff gets broken, things get knocked over, even some things get nicked, and God continues to move. I love it. I don't believe in a God that is stopped by children. I love seeing kids in the house of God. And I love, you know what I love the most? We got a whole bunch of kids here. They're growing up in a church that loves them. I wonder what would happen if every single adult in our community right now, every single adult in Barrow, when they thought of church, they had fond memories. I wonder what would happen. Who knows? Anything could happen. But you know what? When we first started this church, when it was really small and we thought it was going to end, one of the things that was very important to us, let's at least not put anyone off church for life. Let's see if we can execute that. And then anything else we're going to put in the win column. Win. And you know what? These kids are coming to church every Sunday. They're never getting yelled at by a grumpy Sunday school teacher. They've never been told, don't touch that, put that down, don't sit there, don't stand there, be quiet. No one's ever shushed. You know, the kids are growing up. The house of God is a place of freedom, of love, acceptance. Praise God. Hey, if you've got a Bible, go to Acts 2. I'm going to speak to you about life groups today because we're kicking them off. And our life groups are studying again. How amazing has that study been? You know, we live in an age where the church is being blamed for every second thing under the sun. They're rewriting history. They're trying to put the church out of... they're trying to get rid of the gaudiness of history, the Jesusness of history. When we were in California, we went and saw a Martin Luther King Jr. memorial, and they have edited the I Have a Dream speech. How can you edit the I Have a Dream speech? They've shortened it, and they've taken out the obvious Bible passages, and they've taken out the bits where he's quoting from the Bible, and they've taken out the G word, and just left a lot of let my people go. And they changed his name from the Reverend Martin Luther King to the Dr. Martin Luther King. So future generations won't be sure whether he was a Baptist preacher or a dentist. But I'm here to tell you, a Baptist preacher quoted the Bible and said, let my people go. A Baptist preacher quoted the Bible and said, I have been to the mountaintop. I have looked down and seen the promised land. And I may not get there with you, but we as a people will get to the promised land. It only makes sense if you know the guy was a believer. What are you talking about? But I tell you what, we live in an age where all the Christian stuff's been written out. And so to watch a documentary with some incredible historians and some incredibly educated people who are just, like a guy just comfortably said, without Jesus, there wouldn't be a Western democracy as we know it. What? And it's very true. It's been written out of history. I want to show you this. This is a $20 note. Have you seen these? Come on. Bless the Lord. Does anyone know who this guy is here with the glasses? No, I'm not going to make it rain, Mike. I'm just going to hold up one. Michael's dangerous in the front row. Does anyone know who this guy is? Does anyone know who this guy is? This guy, who guessed it? John Flynn, that's right. Good job, Mark. John Flynn. And John Flynn was famous for what? That's true. Mark, how do you know all this stuff? Weren't you in my youth group? You're way too smart to be come from my youth group. Hey, this guy here, John Flynn, he started the Royal Flying Doctors, which was the first ever flying medical thing in the world. But what you don't know about him, I looked it up on Wikipedia. And this is what it says on Wikipedia. Ready? John Flynn was an Australian Presbyterian minister. Did you know that the Flying Doctors service was started by a preacher? Of course you don't, because it's been written out of history. Do you know that he was a church planter and started many churches in Australia? Did you know that he also started a spiritual magazine called The Australian Bushman, which was a Bible devotion that was given to all the people in the outback? Did you know that? Did you know that he founded the Australian Inland Mission, which later became Frontier Services, which in the end, he launched the Royal Flying Doctor Service, the world's first air ambulance, and to this day, tens of thousands of people in countries all around the world have been saved by this guy's idea. He's on our money. He's a believer He's a follower of Jesus, and he invented something that set thousands of people free, and you don't even know who he is. I'll tell you what's going on, because what's going on is Christians are becoming the enemy of the whole world in universities, being blamed for just about everything that ever happened. But while I love this DVD study, because it's giving you back the truth. It's giving you back your history. It's giving you back who you really are. It's taking away from the people who hate us and saying, no, you're not going to tell our story. And it's giving it back to the people who actually believe. Glory to God. So I'd encourage you to get to it. I didn't know that women's rights was a thing that began in church. Did you know that? No, you don't, because you weren't at the study. Come on. You want to know some stuff? Sometimes you've got to get out of the car. Because the news you get about the church from Facebook and YouTube, it's not completely accurate. And there's some more smarter people in the world who actually know what's going on. And I could teach it to you, but coming from me, you wouldn't believe it. Come on. I'm lucky you guys listen to me read something out of the Bible. I start talking about the history of the flying doctors. Half of you are thinking, I'm not so sure whether this guy knows what he's talking about. Turn to the person next to you and say, you know he's talking about you. Acts 2, verse 2 to 3. I want you to check it out. This is we're speaking about life groups today and being involved in life groups. Or small groups, or Bible studies, and whatever you call them, I say yes. Whatever you want to call them. You can call it Sally's house, you can call it Timmy's group, whatever you want to call it. Someone said to me, do you realize you call it something different every Sunday? I'm sorry about that. But what I'm talking about is a group that meets midweek, and it's smaller than this group. A small group. Acts 2, verse 2 to 3, the small groups are in the book of Acts. That's not a new thing we're doing. It says, there's suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and fled the whole house where they were sitting. I just want to get it. When the Holy Spirit turned up, I just want you to check this out. It didn't turn up in a church service the first time. It turned up in a house. Someone's house. Like there was laundry over there. There was a spilt cup of drink over there. They hadn't finished eating all the pita bread or whatever they used to eat back then. And then the Holy Spirit turned up. And shifted the future of the world. Shifted the future of the world. In a house. In a house. There were no professional religious people to be seen. All the professional religious people are off doing whatever they normally do. And God is moving with great power in some guy's house. Isn't that cool? Verse goes on a bit further, does it? Or was that the end? Oh, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and come to rest on each of them. And a miracle took place and the Holy Spirit began there and the power went throughout the whole earth and it began in some guy's lounge room. And most likely, knowing Christians, the guy had a headache. He didn't even want to have the group on that day. He was annoyed that people were coming around. He was sick of Larry, who never brings anything to share. He eats everything but never brings nothing. And he's sitting there getting angry. Ah, oh, these people come into my house. No one ever helps us to clean up. And some of them stay yakking until 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm sick of these people. And then while he's sitting there, the Holy Spirit shows up and blows the world apart. And this is what happens when believers meet together. Incredible things can happen. Incredible things can happen. And amazing things have happened in our life groups. Just this very term, amazing things. Powerful things happen in life groups. Next Bible verse, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15 to 19. Look it up in your Bible. If you got your phone app, it's in the phone. Hang on, some people say yes, some people send them. Okay, put your hand up if you think it's not in there. Beck. Okay, Nathan, just in there. Okay, put your hand up if you think it is in there. Okay. You know what? You know what? After church today, since we're a Baptist church, we're going to have our first ever meeting. We're going to discuss this. If your feelings have been hurt because of what I've just said, bring it to the meeting. For their subcommittee, someone will have to chair the subcommittee. But they'll have to the person who chairs the subcommittee will have to be elected by 2/3 majority of the people. We don't want to have a crazy subcommittee. God bless you. I'm going to be kicked out of the Baptist church someday, I reckon. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 16:15 says this: you know that the household of the Stephens were the first converts in Acacia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you people, what did you say it was now? You which what? Hey, look, I'm telling the story. Just go with it. I'm trying. I'm trying hard, Nana. Well, hang on. I'm going on a different one. Verse 16, submit to these people. Hang on, let me just summarize what I just read. Some guy's running something in his house. That's all you need to know. Let's not sweat the details, Nana. To submit to such of these and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. You know, one thing with your life group leader, why don't you be, the Bible teaches us to submit to these people. Let's go back to verse 15, just to prove it to you. You're not sure that this is in someone's life. You know the household of the Stephens, the first converts in this debatable town? The Stephanus? Look, I'm translating this into the Barrow Bogan version. It's a new version I'm working on. It's the BVV. The BBV. You know what? I got the word wrong. You know what? I'm making this up as I go along. The BBV. I'll read it to you again from the BB version. You know all those blokes that hang out of the household with that Stephen fella? Well, they were the first bunch of people to get together from Barrow. And they devoted themselves to the service of all those do-gooders. And I urge you brothers, just get along with them. Don't be a pain in their butt. Everyone who joins in the work, just get off their case. Give them a break for 5 minutes. There you go. Thank you. I'm working on it. It's the Beresfield version. I'm working on that. That's cool. what the Bible's teaching, if you're in a group, be a blessing. Submit to those. Don't be a pain. Just submit to them. Help them out. If they stay, it starts at 7. Just get there around 7. Don't turn up at 6 when they're washing the dishes. They're trying to get their kids to bed. Turn up when it starts. If it ends at 8:30, get out of the house at 8:30. If they say bring some Tim Tams, bring some Tim Tams. All right? I know that the home brand ones are a little bit cheaper, but they don't taste no good. Don't be a skin flinch. Kick it up a little bit. Come on. Bless them. Bless them. They've opened their house for you. Bless them. And I want to give you some little points about H2O Bible studies. Because some of you grew up in different churches and in other churches, they were just so weird. You know, like some of them, I'm going to give you a bunch of things that H2O Bible studies, they're like this church. See how you're kind of having fun? You're enjoying yourself? You're not thinking, gee, I wish I was at home. This church is as painful as sticking. Go eat. I'm going to leave that bit out. But you know, H2O groups, they're little versions of this. We have fun. We enjoy ourselves. We love God. They're full of joy. They're a blessing. You want to actually be at the thing. And we want to have life groups, H2O life groups that are like this. We are a hope to offer church. We want life groups that offer hope. I've been, when I was in a different church, not this church, I've been to groups that offer depression, that offer condemnation, that offer guilt, that offer debate. But H2O, they offer hope. And so we want to be life groups that are like this church. These things happen at Bible studies. We read the Bible to beat each other up in Scripture. Build each other up. Build each other up. Man. What did I say? Did I really? That's fun. Come on. Hey, this sermon's about to get better. Just hold on. Should we? Is this being recorded, Nath? Yeah. Should we put this one on the internet? Do you know how many haters I have already? God bless them. Hey, I'll tell you. Oh, yeah. Have you heard that ad on Rima? Oh, my goodness. Hey, do you know what we're back on Rima. We're promoting this church on Rima. And, you know, they cut some little bits out of my sermon a few weeks ago. And one of the ones that I said to Michael Tuller, they're not going to play that one. They're playing that one. Do you remember that joke I said? I was in church once and the girl was singing, I'll do the bit for you again. This is going on. And as I'm sharing this with you, just imagine this is going out on Rima. I did this bit a little while ago that about church and praise and how weird it is. Some churches just stand there like stunned mullets in church. The bit goes something like this. I went to church once and they were singing, "I'll shout to the Lord, all the earth let us sing." But no one in the church was allowed to shout. It was a quiet church. Thinking, why not change the lyrics? Instead of "I'll stand with arms wide and heart abandoned," just say, "I'll stand with my arms straight, tapping the side of my leg." So it's not completely hilarious. Now that bit is on the airwaves as we speak. Oh, pray for me. I'm scared to walk from here to the car. I don't think Newcastle's ready. They're not ready for that jelly. Goodness gracious. And I said to Mike, there's no way they'll play that. It somehow got through to the keeper. Oh, hold on. Someone hold someone's hand. Things are about to get real. Number two, Bible studies are not a counseling session. It's a study of the Bible. It's a Bible study. So it's not a time when you get together and dump all of your week onto people. You know, don't use your Bible study group as a punching bag. You know, because the people come in to study the Bible. They're not coming to study Barry. You got Barry in your group, and Barry's had a hard week. And he's come along, and he's got a whole bag of things he needs to unload on the group. You know, he doesn't know where to start. He's like, well, you know, I don't know where I'll start. I mean, I was in an abusive family growing up. I had no love as a child, and my dad never talked to me. I mean, I'm about to be sacked by my job. But I think I might start tonight with, I've got a terrible relationship with my wife. I think I might just get that off my chest. Just get started, eh? No one wants to be in that group. Right? And if they're Barry studies, we'd promote them as such. We'd say, hey, get into a Barry study. You need to learn a lot about Barry. No one wants to know anything about Barry. They want to know about the Bible. So if your whole group is studying Barry's never-ending problems, no one's going to come back. Because the world's not thinking, gee, I wish I could get more Barry in my life. No Christian's thinking, I've been so depressed this week, I really need to get into the Barry. Just get into the Barry. Just really want to understand more the Barry. I don't fully have my head around the Barry. I haven't got a full grasp of the Barry. But I know at my Bible study, they always get deep into the details of the Barry. Oh, I can't wait to get there. Now, look, if you need counseling, Barry, is anyone here called Barry? Sorry about that. Hey, you know what? Listen, Barry, if you need counseling, brother, we love you. We'll get you some counseling, right? It's just the people in your Bible study, they're not qualified counselors. They can't handle it, right? They can't handle it. These are just people meeting in a house. Right? They're not professional counselors. And I know sometimes you get into a Bible study, it looks a little bit like an AA meeting. Everyone's sitting in a circle talking. But it's not an AA meeting. It's a Bible study. All right? I'm upsetting people. I can feel it in the air. Look, I'm going to come back to that. Don't leave offended. If you need counseling, talk to your Bible study leader. Tell them about your horrible past and the dramas, and we will get you counseling. We have gotten people professional counseling by professional people. It doesn't cost you any money. Professional trained counselors will counsel you in your problems. But your life group leader is just a mum or a dad. I don't know what to say. They can't handle it. Number two, Bible studies are not counseling sessions. Number three, the Bible study is not a debate, right? It's not a debate. It's not in a church that I went to when I was a kid. It wasn't this church. But the whole thing was a debate. I don't agree that in the end times that this represents. And then these guys are like, well, I believe that we're in the blah, 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 blah. And then everyone's just arguing. It's like an argument. It's a debate. I believe that Paul, when he was addressing the Corinthians. And, you know what? Just chill out. Okay? Just chill out. You want to have a debate? Debate somebody else. It's a Bible study. We need to try, just study the Bible. You know, just bring some love, not some hate. All right? And that's number three. It's not a Bible debate. Yeah, we go to the Bible studies to encourage each other, to offer hope to people, to support each other, to encourage people in their journey. We don't go to Bible studies to convince the other members in our group that they're all stupid and you're the smartest person in the room. I've never had that problem, but you don't want to be that person, okay? Don't want to be that person. Number four, H2O life groups are like H2O. I've talked about it a little bit. They're fun. They're easy. They're good to be at. And the thing about when you have a great culture in the church, the groups become of that culture. You know, so you get into group, the little groups become like, you get into a stuffy religious church, they've got stuffy religious life groups. You get into an angry church where everyone's angry, the life groups are all angry. You get into a church where it's fun, it's as if Jesus rose from the dead and it's like people are kind of happy. You get into life groups that are kind of happy. Some of you are never going back to a life group as long as you live because you went to one in 1973 and they made you feel stupid because you didn't understand what was in the Bible, or they debated with you and you looked kind of dumb in front of everybody, or they put your feelings down, or the whole group was about Barry. But let me tell you what, you're in a new day, you're in a new church, and it's a new way. The old has gone, thank you, Jesus, and the new has come. Come on. What are we up to? Number four, number five, make it fun. Life groups can be fun. They aren't. It's not meant to feel like you're at the dentist. It's meant to feel fun. So do something fun. You know, in our young adults group, every month, once a month, we meet at the Green Hills Shopping Mall, the new food court, and we're going to once a month go to a restaurant until we've gone to every single new restaurant in the whole place. TGI Fridays, Rashies, Guzman and Gomez, all around till we've seen them all. Why? Because that's what it teaches in the Bible? No, just fun. Have a bit of fun. In one of my previous life groups, we made it our mission that we're going to meet every week and study the Bible. But on top of that, I got a copy of the Cheesecake Shop list of cakes. And we made it our mission. We're going to eat every single cake off the Cheesecake Shop. Every single... We did do that, yeah. We did that. Every single cake. Every week, next week. Next week, it's molten caramel. See you next week. Next week, it's pavlova. We went through the whole menu. And yes, we all gained a few pounds, but it was fun. You can make your group fun. Be creative. Make it fun. Number five. Yeah, we end every single one of our life groups by watching fails on YouTube. YouTube fails. That's how every group ends. Praying for people, thinking, yeah, amen. Now let's watch them fails. And we put it on. And we laugh our guts up at dads falling off the clothesline and tumbling down the stairs, standing on skateboards and falling on their head. It's great. Make it fun. Don't be so serious. Some people play a board game, you know, whatever you're into. Me, I'm not much into board games. Because every time I play board games, I get bored. And I got a theory. I think that's why they call them board games. I told you that joke would die. Everyone in this church loves board games except me. Every church camp, there's a pile of board games higher than the Tower of Babel. They love them here. Me, I get a little bored. But that's okay. I start the game, I go missing halfway through. Can someone roll for Nath? Yeah, roll for Nath. Where's he going? Look, I've got ADD. I can't sit there and look at something for an hour. That's cool. As the leader, number six, in H2O Bible Studies, you don't have the answers, you have the questions. You don't have the answers, you have the questions. Like when you play the DVD, there's a whole bunch of questions. You ask the questions. You know, you think, oh, I couldn't do a Bible study, I don't know enough about the Bible. You know, leaders in Bible studies have the questions, not the answers. This is the reason why preachers make the worst ever Bible study leaders. Because I'm sitting there and I can't help it, I just start preaching. Get back in there. Shut up. No one gives a shut up. And because preachers are terrible at having a discussion. Get me in a room leading a discussion, starts to look like this real quick. I'm the worst. So some of you are thinking, oh, I couldn't do a Bible study. I couldn't be like Nath. The only way you can do a Bible study is because you're nothing like me. I'm a disaster. I sit next to the back and she pinches me when I start to talk too much. Shut up. So you need to get, don't worry, don't have the answers, have the questions. Jesus hated those religious people who had all the answers. And he loved those sinners like you and me who had all the questions. He loved those people. So you just do that. And number seven, this one's a bit controversial, but not everyone's invited to your Bible study. quiet now. Yeah, like, not everyone's invited. Like, it remains your house. Like, all these people, if they all show up at your house, right, annoy the neighbors, eat all your food, drink all the milk out of your fridge, you're not going to be having a fun time. You're not invited to every group. The only way you know you're invited is if someone has invited you, whose houses it is. So there's someone who's running a life, like there's a life group in my house. You'll know you're invited to it if I say to you, you're invited to it. Or if Beck says it, I suppose, yes, because your house is. But anyway, sorry, that's a controversial one. I'll say it in my really happy voice. Yeah, because it's your house. You own the house. It doesn't belong to the church. Your house doesn't belong to me. So I'm not sending everyone over there. Here's 9 Barrys. Have a good time. Enjoy yourself. Get them in there. You'll be a knees in Barry. Right? So you get to invite whoever you want to your Bible study, and you get to not invite whoever you don't want. Is that cool? And you wonder, I don't know if I'm invited to that group. Well, you're invited to the group. If you're invited to the group. Seems so harsh. I'm going to say it in a happy voice. We want more groups. If you're not invited to any group, start your own group. We want more groups. Lots of groups. And I'm going to say that again in a happy voice because it sounded really harsh. Hey, you know what, guys? If you're not invited to the group, it's because you're not invited to the group. Is that happy, Phil? All right. Finally, number 17. Check this out. Verse 17. I was glad when Stephanus. That's true. I've got to practice these things. I was happy when all those guys arrived. Because they have supplied what was lacking from you. They have refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla. Sounds like a pop band. Greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. This is an amazing thing. Nearly all the house churches were run by women in the New Testament. It's amazing. You go through so many of them, they're all run by women. All these amazing women leading these amazing groups. And they met in these homes. And so much of this happened in the homes. They refreshed your spirit, it says. They refreshed my spirit, verse 18. I started a young adults group because the young adults hadn't had like a group for like 4 or 5 years. I was feeling sorry for them. They had no groups. So I was like, we got to start a young adults group. And I didn't know whether they'd come to it because I, as much as I look like a strapping young 22-year-old, I'm actually 39. Turned 40 this year. So I think no one's going to come to them. But you know what? Lots of young people came along, and we've got lots of young people coming into our group. And we believe this year we'll be able to start a second group for different young adult people coming along. And they all came along. And I just did it for them. I was like, I love these guys. I want to see them being left out. It's like, it's too long they haven't been left out. There's been no groups for young adults. It's been too long. And but you know what happened was amazing? I've been so refreshed and recharged and reignited and filled with joy and re-enthused by going to a young adults group with a bunch of 20-year-olds. I've been to like groups in Maitland. Oh, man. I keep saying things on the internet that get me in trouble. Anyway, it wasn't encouraging, you know? All the other pastors got together. It wasn't encouraging. But I tell you, this group has been so encouraging. And we spent half the group laughing and half the group talking about what the Bible said. And I'm seeing young people pray for each other and read the Word of God to each other around the circle. And it's encouraging to me and I'm getting excited about it. And I started the group for them, but the group has been for me. There's this great principle in Proverbs 11. I just want to finish with this. And I might invite the musicians to come back up. We should finish with a song of praise. And it says this in Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, 25. It says, as a generous man will prosper, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And you know, one of the things that's so beautiful about starting a life group is you think you're doing it for them, but the one who refreshes others will be refreshed. And so oftentimes, it's one of the most beautiful compensations in the kingdom of God. You do these things for others, and God just renews your spirit. There's this principle in the Bible where if you try to seek to save your life, you somehow find to lose it. But if you seek to lay down your life for others, you somehow find it. I've known people who just spend their whole life just looking after numero uno. I'm just looking after numero uno, knife. Just me, mate. It's what all about me. I got no time for all these Christian people, mom. Sick of them. They're looking after me. And you know what happens? This guy is always tired, always angry, always grumpy, always upset. And then I've met people who just don't even, they don't even count the cost anymore. They just pay it. And they're so full of joy, so full of life, so full of happiness. And I'd encourage you, why don't you seek to refresh others? You know what's amazing? About 2 weeks ago, I came to our life. No, it was only last week. I came to our life group. I was so tired. I had a really busy day of dealing with drama. And people just wanted to just, I couldn't get any, trying to get some wisdom into, through. And it was a frustrating day. And I'm so frustrated. And it has been a long day for me. Like I had my first meeting at 8:30 in the morning. And now I'm going to a Bible study that's going to finish at like 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night. It was a long day. And it had been meeting and meeting and meeting and meeting and meeting. I was very tired. I was frustrated. I was angry. And besides that, what good is it going to be? We're going to Rashies. How's the Lord going to move in Rashies? And you know what was incredible? I came home so recharged, so filled with joy, so encouraged, just being around some happy people who want to laugh. And you know, I want to give you a tip too for life groups. I didn't dump onto the group how tough my day had been. I didn't. Shut up. You know, let me tell you some wisdom. Right? You can write this down. God can renew you and refresh your spirit even if you just shut up. Like God can renew and refresh your spirit even if you don't bang on about how hard your life is. I didn't say a word. God can restore the brokenness of your week even if you don't bang on about how terrible it is. You know, something, there's a wisdom from the Bible. Sometimes you can empower what you speak about. Sometimes you can empower what you talk about. And I'd encourage, sometimes you just need to stop talking. And then it's amazing how refreshment can come and healing can come, even when you're not banging on about your problems. Some, you know, there's a secular ideology where you've got to like let off steam. Have you ever heard that? I just need to let off some steam, which means just run your mouth. Do you know that's not in the Bible? And did you know that the reason that saying started was years ago, people used to think that the human brain was like a really sophisticated machine. And sophisticated machines 200 years ago were steam-powered. So there's this idea that sometimes the machine just has to let off steam. Let me tell you what, your brain is not a steam-powered engine. And today they talk about the brain being like computers. But even that ain't it. You don't need to let off steam. Because sometimes what you speak, you're speaking into your future. And sometimes when you just vomit up all the bad things that happened to you this week, you end up with no friends. No one wants to be around you, you know, because people got enough drama. So I was in this group, I just shut up. And an hour and a half later, I was completely restored. Hearing people speak and laugh and being around some joy-filled people. So I'd encourage you this week, get into a Bible study. I know that there are people in this room who every time we say Bible study, their brain goes, block, block. You're like an NBA player who's awesome on defense. Get it out of here! Not in my house! Not in my house! Not today! Not today! But I'd encourage you, would you stop blocking everything good in your life and stop welcoming in everything disastrous? Devil knocks on the door, come right in, devil. Here, have a seat. Put your feet up, anything you need. Why don't you start blocking some of the harsh stuff and letting in the good stuff, man? Because this is great for you. It's a pattern from the earliest days of the church. Hey, I want to encourage you today, if you're new, there's a whole lot of new people here today. Before you go, you might have been given a little bag, but before you go, put your details on this, because we want to ring you and send you some information about the church. And let you... I'm holding up a real person. Actually, I don't normally do that, so we'll keep your details just in. So fill that out before you go, so we can invite you along. Yeah, the 3rd of June. It's coming up.